morning. This is Tom Lee, interim superintendent here in Sartell St. Stephen, and we are beginning a new podcast. Antiquated. We can no longer find parts. When we do need parts, we have to have the machine, which costs a lot of money. It's not delivering air the way we need it to, and it needs to be completely replaced. Is that correct, Jesse?
That is correct. It was built in 1969. You can definitely tell it's a 1969 air handler. They're McQuay units. We've had a lot of trouble with them. A lot of the parts are a little worn. Such as would be if you had an old vehicle was from 1969, it would need some upkeep. We have a lot of units. They're direct drive units. They don't have a, like the newer air handlers, they don't have a VFD, so we can't vary the speeds of them. They're either on or off, and when they run, they're going to run wide open or hardly not at all.
Sounds pretty inefficient.
It is rather inefficient. We've done protective things. Now, we've done things to them, though they're just, you don't want to start throwing a whole bunch of new parts at something that's that antiquated. It needs to get replaced sooner than later.
Okay, so my understanding is that around somewhere around 2015, the district had a facility steering committee. They did a facility study, and they had like $160-some-odd million worth of projects that was identified. Including this project and other things too. So what year did we go out for the bond for the new high school?
So the bonds were issued, there was a vote, a public referendum taken in May of 2016. Mm-hmm. And the total proceeds from those bonds were just about $106 million. Mm-hmm. The bulk of that project, or the main piece of that, was to build a new high school to alleviate some space concerns around the district. Mm-hmm. We had four grades at the time in the Riverview, in what's now the Riverview building. At the time it was Sartell Middle School. It housed grades 5 through 8 and about 1,250 to 1,300 students at that time in four grades. So the committee decided to, as a way of solving space issues throughout the district, to go to the vote for a brand new high school. And then throughout that process, we also remodeled the old high school to be a usable middle school and redid our grade configurations as they are today. So we added one full building to the to our whole footprint and reshuffled the grade configuration so that now Riverview Intermediate School houses grades 3 through 5. So about 1,000 students in any given year work in that, or are in that building on a day-to-day basis, as well as quite a few staff. So about 1,200 people just about on a daily basis are working in and learning in that building. It's been a very reliable, a very useful building for the district over the years. It's been just about everything since 1969. It's been high school, elementary school, middle school, you name it, students of all levels have attended there. And, you know, it's got very good infrastructure within the building. We have invested a lot of money into it. I mean, it's a very, very large building, and we've put significant resources into, you know, the Phi-Ed spaces there, all the common spaces, as well as, you know, repurposing a lot of areas to best suit, you know, call it 21st century learning with, you know, STEM spaces and with enhanced Phi-Ed spaces and media spaces that we've done through the most recent remodeling project. We also decommissioned our old pool. Now that there's a new pool in the new high school and also in the former high school and the middle school, we didn't need the old inefficient pool that was in the intermediate school anymore. So we decommissioned that, which really helped the dehumidification or the the humidity level in the building. Yes, it did. having that sit in the middle of the building was really a problem for the learning and working environment there. So that has certainly helped, but we still have the antiquated system. So when we're talking about replacing this, we're talking about gutting everything from the ceiling tiles and up. Mm-hmm. So it's not a plug and play, switch out this unit for another one. It's, we're talking about, Jesse, this is where your expertise comes in a little more than me, but you were talking about, you know, the system of delivering this air throughout the building in every way.
In every way, correct.
Both in summer and in spring and fall, but also the wintertime.
In the wintertime, correct.
Right. Well, and it's not unusual when you have something that's as old as 1969. You know, if any of us have something from 1969, we've done a lot of work on it, but most of us have probably moved on from it, right? And so that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to move on from the existing HVAC system into the 21st century with more digital controls instead of the kinds of things that we have right now.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I know that the facility study yielded like $160 million. We sold a bond for $105, and some of the other projects, including this one, got put into phase two and phase three. Now, this one technically qualifies for something called LTFM, or long-term facilities maintenance bonding. So in other words, the board would not necessarily have to go to the voter to ask permission to this. This is a tool that the state of Minnesota has given us to utilize for these kinds of situations, correct?
Yes, there are really three categories within long-term facilities maintenance that qualify for board-approved bonding.
Okay.
And those categories are things that are seen as being more of an urgent need than necessarily being able to wait for voters to approve as part of a standalone or as part of a larger bonding project. So the three areas that you can do that for are for indoor air quality, and that's how this would qualify. And the other items that you'd be able to do that for are for asbestos abatement. Mm-hmm. If asbestos were discovered in an area that needed to be removed quickly, that can be a very expensive and a project and a very urgent project. So school boards are allowed to bond for those types of items if they're large without needing voter approval. And also in the area of fire safety. So if we had
to sprinkle, to add sprinkler systems.
If we needed to replace a sprinkler system or a fire alarm system in a particular building and the cost of that was over $100,000 for that building, the state gives us the ability to say, hey, you can bond for those in a hurry, just need board approval. That's along the same lines as indoor air quality. They see that as a type of need that you realize isn't always going to come from going to the voters for in that type of project, because it really impacts the student learning environment.
So this particular project qualifies for that because it is indoor air quality. And we're going to be asking the board to take a vote on this probably in October. And one of the things is that the board wants is to make sure that we do a good job of informing the public about what the issues are, what the tool is, and why we want to use the tool. And the primary reason we want to use this tool is because it does qualify for health and safety under indoor air quality. And if we were to go to a vote, it might take, you know, we wouldn't be able to go out to vote in November, so we'd have to go either late winter, early spring. So now you're another 9 months down the road, and so on. And so given the reality is that, as I'm coming in from the outside, this looks like a pay me now, pay me later kind of scenario, right? It needs to be done. So you either have to take care of it now, or you need to take care of it later. How much later? Don't know. But right now, some of our consultants are saying we're not in the window of a catastrophic event right now, right? But we also don't want to wait until we are. Right? Because if all of a sudden, boom, we have in the middle of the winter, it just all shuts down. What are we going to do? Right?
Yeah.
So we don't want to wait until we're there. We want to get it now. Correct?
This will be a very invasive product project to take place at that school. We'll have to do it in two phases over two summers. And it's not, I mean, there are certainly elements in terms of some of the programming that can go on behind the scenes that don't need to take place, that can take place while school's in session.
Mm-hmm.
But there are Most of this project will need to have at least half the building freed up and available to be able to basically gut a lot of you know, basically everything from the ceiling tile above that. And so that's why we were looking at doing it over a couple of summers. A lot of the equipment that's needed will have a significant amount of lead time for ordering. You're looking at some of these things might be 10 to 12 months out when you order them. So once, you know, specific designs are done, then we'll know what equipment to order, and that can take some time. So right now, sitting in September of 2023, you know, by the time project is fully designed, gone out to bid, and all those steps are approved, it would be too late to start working on a project of this size and scope in the summer of 2024.
So we're looking at summer of 2025.
Yep.
Which actually is probably favorable, because most of the folks that would do this work are either booked or are getting booked very rapidly for the summer 2024. We'd be on the front end of the summer of 2025 if our board is able to approve this in October. So let me make sure I'm clear on this. So if the board approves in October, then we go into a design phase. The design phase takes 3 to 4 months. So now you're looking at going out to bid in late January and somewhere in February, and then you're bidding for the summer of 2025 and the summer of 2026. So we're on the front end of bidding and we're filling their schedules. So that would also hopefully create a more positive bidding environment for us.
Yeah, it should be a pretty competitive bidding environment at some point, and not you're not left with the contractors that haven't kind of filled up their summer.
Yep.
And also, like I mentioned, just because of lead times, some of the things that are going to be needed for this project are going to have to be ordered 12 to 15 months in advance to make sure that we don't have the whole ceiling exposed and we're waiting for units to be delivered.
Correct. Absolutely. Correct. So we've identified the issue. The issue is the HVAC system at Riverview. We talked about why we haven't gotten to it yet, and that is because we identified $165 million of projects. The high school and other projects around the district has gone into the first $105 million that was covered by the bond. Now we have some more. And this would fall in phase two. And this we're looking at using the long-term facilities maintenance bonding for. The next question I have is that I know that Baird has done a tax impact, and so it will have an impact on our taxpayers, correct?
Correct.
And the impact is because of a variety of different issues have even gone up since the last time we asked them, correct?
Correct, yeah. So we first asked them for a cost estimate and a tax impact estimate in mid-June of 2023. And we had them run, these can be financed in different scenarios, but there's always a trade-off between immediate tax impact and total cost of the project. So like Tom mentioned, we're looking at about $19.6 million of a total project, so roughly $20 million. Back in June, the market conditions there, and with assuming potentially being a summer 24 project at that time, we were kind of first exploring our options. The tax impact that we looked at was maybe around $9 a month for a $300,000 household.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming 16-year financing and kind of the cheapest scenario overall when you talk about total cost of principal and interest over the life of the project. So that was kind of what we were looking at in June. We've had them update some of those based on current market conditions and also the fact that this would be a summer 25-26 project, so the actual bonds wouldn't be issued as soon as maybe they originally were projecting if you assumed construction in 24. So the most recent projection we have has an annual tax impact for a $300,000 house of about $140 a month, $140 a year.
Yeah.
Or about $12 a month.
Okay.
So even in the last couple months, the tax impact has gone up. Part of that, and mostly due to market conditions.
Yep.
But also just, you know, another year later in construction means, we're another year out in where the market might be.
Correct. Well, and then there are other options as far as financing, and some of which would have absolutely zero impact, but that makes the project like another $14 million total costs.
We have
because of financing.
Yeah, the cost of paying off our the bonds that were issued in 2016. The tax impact of those steps down a little bit every year. So if we were to say, you know what, why don't you issue this debt so that we're just paying the bare minimum throughout the life, you know, while we're paying this back until the old high school bonds are paid off. And then we'll make some aggressive payments for 5-6 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could do that for virtually no tax impact to from 1 year to the next, from 24 to 25, mm-hmm. right? But you're deferring a lot of the costs of those. So just like if you borrow a bunch of money, but you don't pay back a lot of the principal right away, it's going to cost you a lot of interest in the long run. So that option is about, you know, $15 to $17 million more in the long run than having something with a $12 a month and, you know, taxable income now.
Yeah.
We would definitely pay for it later to the tune of, you know, talking about somewhere around $49 million in total principal and interest versus somewhere around $33 million.
Okay, well, that's a big difference.
Right.
And we're supposed to be good financial stewards for this community, right? And so going with that option doesn't sound like being a very good financial steward. So in summary, so we've got the issue, and that is the HVAC system is antiquated and needs to be replaced. We've known about this since our facility study team, our steering committee met, and it was part of the original facility study that led to the bond, but we knew that we weren't going to be able to get all of the projects done inside that bond because we had a professional survey person tell us what our number was. And so we have subsequently put some things off. We were able to take care of some of those phase two items with the bond because we were able to do more with the money than we thought we were going to be, and primarily because we earned another $3 million in interest as well. So we've done some other things in phase two. This is the biggest project in phase two. What about phase three, Jesse? There's some concern like, well, there's more stuff to be done down the road. And I know one of the things that I've heard from Joe is we own almost $500 million of public assets. And so there's always going to be something.
There's always something.
Always going to be something. But correct me if I'm wrong, but what needs to be done after this project is plug and play. That it's not going to be as invasive. It's going to be much simpler that we can pay as we go. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Once you build the infrastructure, once you get the air handlers in place, the controls that actually will work inside of them once we replace a new one will be very minuscule as far as in cost, you know, to replace them. And there again, once you build when you put the new controls in and the new air handlers, then you got a warranty for a while. Everything's good to go. None of these costs should be that much, that substantial later on down the road.
And we should be saving significant dollars as far as energy efficiency.
Absolutely. Energy efficiency. A lot of our piping, too, everybody thinks it's just the air handler. Air handler is just a portion of the stuff that will get replaced in there. A lot of our piping that we have a lot of issues with, our pumps, the way we deliver our hot water to the radiators inside of them, that stuff's all getting gutted out. And we've had them things leak all the time. We're not just replacing the air handler, we're replacing basically the whole infrastructure, the building, and how it's heated and cooled. So, I mean, there's a whole thing that comes with that. It's definitely needed. It's been a while, and shame on us. You know, we should have probably done that a while ago, but we didn't. There again, we're a school district. We only have so much funds, and it's about time.
Yep. Well, and I think as I come in looking from the outside, I'll say it again. It's a pay me now, pay me later scenario. It was $14 million 6 years ago. It was, you know, $16 million 2 years ago, and now it's almost $20 million. So I think it's fair to say the longer we wait, the more expensive it's going to be, the greater the tax impact is going to be, and the time has come. We need to move forward with this project. So thank you both for being here today and help explaining this to the community. If they have any other questions, I'm sure, Jesse, you would be available. And then
100%.
If people have questions about the financing of it, I'm sure, Joe, you could answer some questions. But without further ado, it's time to end our time together. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this issue of what's happening in Sartell schools. I do believe this is going to be our second podcast, not our first. I misspoke earlier. So thank you, gentlemen, and thank you to everyone out there. Again, we hope that you, if you have any other questions, please call us, email us, ask us, and we're happy to answer any questions. But this is an urgent need that we need to have covered soon. So thanks again for joining, and have a great day.